off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Happy New Year to you!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. Happy New Year to you. A few days early, but this is the last broadcast of 2025, so we might as well go out with an annoying song like that. That's just what we do here at Just Plane Radio, and cover the latest aviation news and information. Couple little stories to wrap up 2025. First off, another story on landing fees. Hopefully, we'll have less of these in 2026, but I got a bad feeling it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Are you with me on this, Dennis? What do you think?
Yeah, it's very troubling to see these types of reports coming on, becoming much more frequent. Mesa, Arizona's Falcon Field is proposing a $29.95 landing fee for its based airplanes. They'll give you 5 free landings a month. Think about that.
We're going to give you literally 5 free.
You get one landing a week, basically, if you're a based pilot there.
Yeah.
That's on top of the fees that you're already paying them for, hangar rent, tie down, whatever.
Right.
Clearly, this is aimed specifically at the flight schools. Can you imagine? I mean, a typical flight school, one sortie, one mission, one flight lesson is going to probably be 5 flights.
Right.
Or 5 landings. So if you're looking at $30, $150 in landing fees on top of an already expensive airplane and a flight instructor, basically it's going to drive the flight schools out of the field, which is obviously the goal.
Well, it could be. Yeah. That I love the fact that they've priced it at $29.95. Oh, it's less than $150 if you do a few extra flights. You know, just they've priced it to make it sound cheaper than it is. I mean,
they're making Kissimmee seem reasonable because Kissimmee gives you 1 free landing a day.
Yeah.
These guys are giving you 5 for the whole month.
Right. That's not ideal. And obviously the folks in that area are, you know, they're not too happy about that. So, I don't know. Have you heard any grumbling from that neck of the woods? Is there anything in the story about people that have already reacted? Say, oh, hell no.
Well, the biggest reaction is, of course, the NIMBYs and the neighbors, the people that live next to an airport. Apparently, they're protesting that air operations went up 20% in 2024 from 350 to 430,000. Hmm. And neighbors have howled in protest. And a petition to cut noise has gathered more than 1,600 signatures. Yeah. Okay. But you chose to live there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, the fees don't really address the noise problem unless they're trying to just, like you said, just get business out of the area altogether or make it look less attractive. That's one way to go about it. But, you know, what they ought to do is probably talk about, like, hours of operation or something. That'd be a little bit more reasonable, wouldn't it?
No, it still wouldn't.
No?
Because you're still restricting the business.
Well, true. I guess that's true. But
you still need to have night currency. Student pilots need to get night experience. And how are you going to do that? But it's just interesting because the article dug a lot deeper into stuff that's going on at Mesa, Arizona, and they're needing these landing fees to make up for projected budget shortfalls. But apparently, there's a 160-acre orange grove neighboring the airport that's actually under the city's budget as well, and it's losing $160,000 a year.
Hmm.
So is part of that budget shortfall that you're trying to make up for the fact that you're, running a failing farm?
Who knows?
And pilots are having to pay for that? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And wow. The frustrating part is the pilots were only given like a 2-month heads up that this was going on. But apparently the city had been working on this for almost a year.
Of course. And that's what happens, unfortunately, if you're not paying attention to your local city government or whoever oversees your local little airport there, the stuff sneaks up on you for sure. It sounds like one of those classic scenarios. And then by the time they find out about it, it's too late. It's already down the pike and signed into a new rule or law or whatever they would call it. And they start collecting those fees. And now you're trying to get them to reverse course and it's too late. So you kind of have to keep your eye on the ball. when it comes to that stuff in your local flying area, for sure, right? Yeah,
shout out to AOPA for establishing the airport support network many years ago and having volunteers that, you know, keep their ear to the ground for just these sorts of issues.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but then still, the local folks are the ones that have to tell AOPA, hey, they're trying to do this at my local airport, help me.
Right, but at least you've got volunteers that are, you know, part of that airport that are going to the airport meetings and the city council meetings and, you know, looking at the news so that they're aware of these things that are going on and can bring the attention to it once it finally rears its head.
Right.
As opposed to finding out after the fact, you know, that nobody even was aware that this was going
on. Well, and once again, it isn't like they hide it. It's more apathy that happens with this type of stuff. You don't pay attention to these kind of things until you see something that, you know, they've decided to do that affects what you love to do, which is fly your aircraft. And unfortunately, if you're not paying attention, this kind of stuff happens all the time. And now you're put in a position where you're getting them to reverse a decision that shouldn't have been made in the first place. So that's why I say you have to be proactive in your local area to make sure you're aware of what your local government's doing. It's a pain in the butt, I know, but it's that apathetic approach. And everybody does it on many different levels that get you into trouble, I think. I'm on my soapbox. That's all I get to say about that, I guess.
Well, you know? And hopefully that some of the proponents or the people that are fighting this will be able to find something in the grant assurances and whatnot that, you know, shows that this is discriminatory.
Yeah.
You know, since you're basically targeting transient airplanes, frequent operations from based airplanes. And, you know, it's supposed to be equal and open access to all because you got federal grants. And, you know, the city is not paid for that massive airport and
right.
parallel runways and all the infrastructure out of their own pocket.
Well, and here's another alternative. Maybe you sit down with them and you talk about, have you looked at this possibility to help limit this? Or maybe we could come up with a compromise that doesn't hurt access for GA and that kind of stuff. But, you know, once again, it's much easier to have those conversations before the laws are put into a place or new rules, and that's why you got to stay on top of it.
Or maybe not approve a housing development right off the departure end of, you know, the runway there. You know,
Dennis, common sense
things like that.
I know, that's common sense in politics and government structure. Well, what are you on,
Common
crack?
Sense isn't as common as one would think.
Yes. Right? True. All right. Before we wrap up the show, we got to give props to this this glider pilot who went how long? What, 1,100 miles, 1,200 miles?
1,100 miles. He took off out of Lake Tahoe and flew to the middle of Kansas.
Wow. Okay. So you were telling me during the commercial break that actually he does have a motor in the glider.
Yes. It has a small jet engine to self-launch. So he didn't have to get towed up by another airplane and released. So he was able to self-launch.
Okay.
But he took off and flew 1,100 miles just by riding the wind and the thermals.
Wow.
So he was able to find rising air using tools like SkySight, which could predict lift. And so he was able to find rising air when he needed it. He was able to take advantage of the tailwinds. The funny thing is, one of his biggest challenges was fighting icing in the cockpit.
Oh, well, that's not ideal, is it?
It's a glider. You do not have an engine, which means you also don't have a heater. The only electricity you have is usually a battery, maybe a couple solar cells, but that only does so much. Hmm. You're not going to run a cabin heater to keep the glider warm. So this guy flew for 12 and a half hours. Between 20 and 28,000 feet. And if anybody looks at a winds aloft chart, you know that little notation that says wind temperatures are negative above 25,000 feet, right?
Mm.
So he was most likely below zero the entire time.
Wow. Okay. Didn't have any of those like little hand warmers or something cheeks or.
I would have seriously thought about doing something, you know.
Yeah.
Thermal socks, thermal underwear, you know, but there's a limit. 12 and a half hours with a battery to run heaters, that's not practical.
Well, maybe not, but I'll tell you what, that is impressive just the same. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the last broadcast for 2025. Remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Tonight, Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.